A hillbilly preacher told how the Lord took a handful of sand and made a man and hung him on the barbed wire fence to dry. Then he took a handful of dust and made a woman the same way. Preacher, where did that barbed wire fence come from? It's questions like this that is ruining religion. Well, it's attitudes like this that truly short-circuit our brains. We humans were given the blessings of creativity. Most important of all, we were given the knowledge of truth, which at its most fundamental is the knowledge of God Himself. We were given sentience, intelligence, emotions, and rationality. God is truth, and there is no other. And truth does not exist apart from God. He also gave us free will. He formed us in the perfect Garden of Eden, and all was perfectly good and going swimmingly well until a certain dazzlingly awesome, gorgeous serpent made his way to an unsuspecting Eve, as recorded for us in Genesis 3. At the sly suggestions of the stunningly beautiful serpent creature, Eve was deceived, ate, gave some of this delightfully delicious fruit to Adam, and he, captivated by both the serpent's and his wife's beauty, seemingly without even a first thought, plumb forgot Father God's command and took a purposeful bite of that delectable fruit. From this decidedly inauspicious turn of events, mankind has continued to self-deceive. In our own formerly Christian land, and will soon be again, we are witnessing self-deception such that previously certifiably insane persons freely walk the streets, convinced in their minds that they have none, or whatever gender they feel like at any particular moment, or not even human at all. Amazingly, across the world, some claim to be various creatures or even inanimate objects. A Canadian woman recently married an oak tree. Many people, often children, believe they're animals, so many that this subculture of madness are termed furries. An Oklahoma legislator last week has even introduced a bill to prohibit public schools from providing litter boxes for children to relieve themselves in, those furries who believe themselves to be cats, dogs, etc. Who would have ever dreamed that such madness would threaten to overtake America? But that is what happens when a society that once knew God exchanges the truth for lies. Rejecting truth results in all manner of lies and false identities. Rejecting God ultimately means we reject ourselves, and thus we become any kind of thing that we are not. Such people are under a spell and prefer the spell to reality. How they need to be pitied and woken up. For these same people are the first to deify anything and everything that is not God, and kill and destroy anything else that reminds them of the truth, most especially unborn baby humans. No wonder abortion is a sacred ritual to them. As we hurtle toward the end of this age, in God's perfect timing, He is quickly revealing to us everything we need to know to not just survive, but thrive during these increasingly dangerous and difficult end times. He is restoring our knowledge of His prophecies, His word, and history. For we must be equipped with the knowledge of what has gone before, so we do not repeat the mistakes of ages past, to come out victorious at the end of this age, standing tall and unscathed from the worst the devil and his evil minions can throw at us. as our Lord promised that all the powers of hell will not be able to prevail against Lord Jesus' church, so we need a full knowledge of what we're actually up against and where we are in God's grand plan of all things. Because every single one of us is here for such a time as this. Our birthdays were determined by God before this world was even created. Each of our days was in God's mind before even one of them came to pass. We are not here by accident. We are here in this here and now because God wanted us here in 2024 as this momentous, tumultuous new year unfolds. Genesis 1:1 states, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." The next verse is totally unexpected. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. What? If God is perfect, then why was the earth formless and empty, as the New Living Translation puts it? These terms aren't strictly inaccurate, but in English, they totally lack the profound connotative meanings in Hebrew understanding. For these Hebrew words, tohu and bohu, indicate that something is very amiss at this juncture of history. For the Hebrew mindset, and ours as well, presupposes that since God is perfect, and everything he does is perfect, then when he first created the earth, it too had to have been perfect. Why now is it imperfectly formed and void, empty? We see in verse 2 that the entire earth is covered with deep waters. These deep waters, when one thinks of them, reminds us of a later time when, once again, the earth was totally covered by water, Noah's flood. In Noah's day, why was the world totally covered with water? For judgment, for cleansing, for purification. Then God declares to Noah in Genesis 9:11, "Yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will floodwaters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth." It sounds like this was not the first time. What if the state of the earth, as we read it described in Genesis 1:2, indicates that the world was then being cleansed from evil and unrighteousness? Does this not make more sense? Consider, we know that Satan indwelt the serpent in Genesis 3. This flawed heavenly being was on earth and was definitely not perfect. It was an evil being, indeed the very first evil being, very first, the first to sin, and the first to fall from heaven to the earth. We also know that this planet was created a very, very long time before Adam and Eve and the rest of today's wonderful flora and fauna were created. For Job 38:7 tells us that the heavenly beings rejoiced when they witnessed God creating the earth at the very beginning. God asked Job a series of questions, including, "Who laid the earth's cornerstone as the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy?" So the earth was once perfect, as were all the beings that God created long before Adam and Eve. But here in Genesis 1:2, the earth is covered with water to eliminate the infestation of evil, fallen life that had invaded it. God is now reforming, restoring, remodeling earth, repairing, renewing, and resurrecting its perfection, readying it for God's final created beings to inhabit and care for it, beings now made in his very image, humanity. And Adam and Eve lived on the earth happily ever after. Unfortunately, no. They fell from grace. So has America, and all humanity, starting with them. Noah was righteous, but not without sin. But God's plan was progressing, a mystery to all but himself. When Adam and Eve were created, they were perfect, sinless. The devil couldn't stand it, so he attacked. Our hapless first parents fell for his charms. God did not see this coming. It was actually part of his glorious plan. But for all his troubles, the devil was told he would not ever prevail. Indeed, his very head would be crushed to death by the offspring of this woman, Eve, the very one he had hoodwinked. Perfect justice. Fast forward about 4,000 years, and Christ Jesus delivers a decisive blow to the devil from which he will never recover. The devil licks his wounds while brainstorming his next move. As his attempts to kill off the saving offspring have utterly failed, he will now deploy his considerable wiles to confuse humanity so that they won't know that God even loves them. The enemy will sow discord, disunity, and disinformation over all this earth yet again, such that earth and its people will become so abhorrent to God that God will have to abandon it and leave humanity to suffer the torments of the devil. The lies, thefts of the gospel seeds, plundering of all that is right and true, the absolute defacing of God's image reflected by every human being, we can see it clearly in all who deny their gender, their species, and reality itself. Truly, the earth is now so polluted with depraved sin that it cries out for God for rescue. And God is. We're part of his answer. While most of us aren't spring chickens, we can still stand for the truth of God, love the deceived around us, and pray to God for his will to be done on earth in full. Christ Jesus had no need to be baptized in water because he had no sin to be put to death and washed away. Yet he underwent baptism for us, literally, upon the cross of Calvary, literally dying as all the world's sin was dumped on him. No more was the world subject to a watery judgment that cleansed it from all sin and evil. The earth has been and is being redeemed. We each have also been baptized in his death, exchanging our contaminated lives for Christ's perfect life. We now stand with him, like him, today, right now, to see the culmination of all things. Though the days grow darker, our lights, as we stand for truth, will grow all the stronger and brighter. For light does not come from the sun, moon, and stars. Light comes from God and from his Spirit in us. Ever feel a little dark? Then turn back to the light and get recharged. Let us pray. Though we may sometimes wonder about it, we truly do thank you, Lord, that each and every one of us was given life by you for this day, for this time, for this end of the age. We don't understand our real purposes, but help us to truly just be obedient to your commands, and you will work through us things that we have no imagination of. And for that, we give you the greatest praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.